Our next speaker is going to be speaking to mobilizing website strategies for implementation and optimizing. We have with us Christopher Leon, and he is a web and mobile designer. He's with the Capella Education Company, and he's going to speak to mobilizing websites, encouraging web designers to optimize what they have to make it better within the mobile experience. We're very happy to have him. Big round of applause.
Thanks. Welcome. I am here to talk about a book that I wrote last year, just came out in December. As you can see, the title is called Mobilizing Websites. I wrote it really from two basic premises, I guess, and I'm going to try to go over those, try to divide my time between those pretty evenly as I crank up my stopwatch here so I keep track of time. One of the motivations for writing it is I felt that there's a lot of talk about kind of starting from scratch to deal with mobile, kind of the whole mobile-first thinking, which is a really good way to go. Mobile is becoming so prevalent that to start with mobile and then do desktop adaptation later is a great way to go, unless you already have a bunch of sites that are already done and you don't necessarily want to wait for a redesign opportunity to get into mobile. So really, that's kind of the approach that I'm taking, is what do you do if you want to take an existing site and do something to mobile optimize it? So that's one premise. The other premise that ties into my day job is that I like thinking about progressively enhancing sites over time from a product point of view. The idea of thinking that websites are never actually truly done. They're never completed. They're never finished. They're never perfect either. And so if you adopt this mindset, it's also a better way to get into mobile, in my opinion, because it allows you to not have to bite off everything at once, to kind of prioritize things and to ease into it and to see what happens as you do that. So I'm going to start with an example. You're probably wondering, why in the world did this guy bring his suitcase on stage? But I thought, just to kind of get us in the mindset of what it's like to think about moving from desktop to mobile, one of the examples in my book involves talking about using a carry-on bag like this to travel so you don't have to wait, you know, for a big bag like this at the baggage check when you're flying. So the thing of just traveling with something this small, though, is that you have to pack a little differently, right? You have to plan a little differently. So in the case of coming down here to Austin, for example, in the spring, when it's kind of cold and hot, then cold and hot, you kind of have to pack for everything, right? So if you're packing for cold weather, and if you're doing the full big suitcase treatment, you might want to bring some really bulky things like this, right? These big bulky sweaters. The thing is, though, I'm not going to be wanting to bring a whole bunch of bulky sweaters in my carry-on, okay? So I might want to be doing something like, you know, layering. I might want to bring a thin jacket like this that I can roll up. It's very compact. This fits in here really nicely. I might want to do something like bring a turtleneck. You know, I've got a lot of these because I'm a skier. Again, these things roll up really compactly. They fit into a tiny space. And if it's really cool, I can wear those two things together. Another thing you might want to do is to pack something that gives you even more warmth, like a goose down vest, which can look kind of puffy. But then, you know, this can take a different form as well. This can adapt. And you can actually kind of roll the air out of it. And it gets pretty small, and you can fit that in here too. So, you know, my strategy of preparing for cold weather didn't change, did it? But how I'm preparing is a little bit different between these two situations. So that's just kind of something to think about as we're thinking about the web as well. There's other examples where maybe you just don't want to bring something or you can't. You know, I can't pack this big bottle of conditioner in my carry-on because they're not going to let it through security. So there's an example where you definitely do have to go to something a lot smaller. And in this case, you know, pack the travel size. So let's throw that in there. Now let's say you're traveling and you're staying either with a guest or you're using like HomeAway.com and you don't even know if you're going to have a towel in the place that you're renting. Well, if you're traveling in a big suitcase, you might want to bring a big towel. You might have room. Otherwise, in this, you're not going to want to stick a bath towel in it. So I have this camping towel that is a really thin, absorbent fabric but it actually works just as well as a bath towel. And again, it's really compact. So that fits in here too. And finally, you know, if you're really, really being picky about space, you might even want to just take your swim trunks that might normally be bigger like this and go, you know what, I'm really picky about space. I'm going to bring the old Speedo in the carry-on just because I really want to minimize what I'm bringing. So now I've got this carry-on that has substantially the same amount of stuff that I want to bring, just in a smaller package, right? So that clearly it's a metaphor for how we can start to think about getting sites ready for the mobile web. So that's the pack your Speedo introduction. So what does this analogy illustrate? What can we learn from this? As I said, our purpose largely stays the same, okay? Our purpose hasn't changed. We're not completely changing what we should be doing with our website when we go from desktop to mobile. And I think that's a really important thing. Too often, I think people go, well, maybe I need to really radically cut down on what I'm doing or really change the purpose of my website. Actually, you should really try to avoid that. You should try to keep the purpose the same. But the strategy does change, and there are numerous ways of doing that, and those are some things that we'll go in on a little more detail on here soon. So really what we have is we have a solution that is a mix of things, right? We have a solution of things that we already have or already know that we want to do, and then we might add a few new things, but it's really just changing the way we think about the things that we're already going to bring anyway. It's changing the way we're going to meet the same goals. And one of my contentions that especially kind of leads me away from thinking that a lot of us are ready to just dive into a mobile-first project for mobilization is that, you know, this is a small enough container that, in my opinion, we kind of need some time to work with it, right? We need to become familiar with this context, and that takes time. And if we're just used to designing for the desktop and we want to make that jump into mobile and we're waiting for that perfect project and we're waiting to become familiar with that, you know, there's all these things to think about and we're going to kind of talk ourselves out of ever going into mobile. And I know people who have done that. So my contention is if you take baby steps, if you learn just little ways that you can mobile optimize, become more and more familiar with that mobile context, then, you know, maybe after a while you will be ready to do that mobile first project later. Another framework that I like thinking of this in involves some psychology, actually. And I'm referring to a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow, who had a theory of human development in the middle of the last century. And he developed what is called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's something that becomes pretty familiar when you study developmental psychology. And I put a few hints out on Twitter that I was going to give away some books to anyone who knew some of these, the five different levels of his hierarchy of needs. So I'm just wondering if anybody got those clues or might just know about Maslow anyway. Does anyone know what the lowest, most basic human need is of the five levels in his pyramid? Yeah. Security is one of them. Yep. It's actually not the beginning one, but because you got one, you win a book. So can you pass that back? So security is one. Yep, it's actually the second one. Does anyone know one of the other ones? Shelter. Shelter isn't one of the basic ones. Shelter is actually one of the ones in safety. Yeah. But you know what? I don't have time to be too picky about answers. Do you want to run up and get a book? I don't want to burn through too much of my time giving away books. Thanks. So, another level. Food is one of the basic requirements in the physiological level. So yeah, food is something that we need. It's non-negotiable. So yeah, you get a book too. So I've got two more. Yes. If you want to run up. So I've got one more. Green shirt. Yeah, self-actualization is the top one. Yep. All right, so thanks for playing the Maslow hierarchy of needs game. So let's look a little bit more into how this works. What I started thinking about is I thought, well, You know, we can really adapt how people think about anything in their lives and kind of adapt this model to the web, I think. So if we start with things that we absolutely need, like breathing, food, reproduction, sleep, things like that, that just continue the species, right? Then we have things that are a little more important but require that baseline stuff before you can get there, like safety. Then love and belonging is the third level, esteem, self-actualization. So you, when you get to the top of this pyramid, you're talking about being creative, adding value to society, doing all these other things, but you can't do that until you meet these other goals, right? So it's kind of a hierarchy of prioritization. And I like that way of thinking because I think we can apply that same type of thinking to the web, and especially the same type of thinking to how we might bring about a better mobile experience. So I'm kind of calling this my theory of mobile motivation. And the first thing you need to do is be able to just outright see something on a mobile device, right? So I contend that even if you're making small changes where you make things that are not visible visible or more visible, you're meeting one of the most essential needs of the web. Now, one of the best examples of this in mobile is when something is in Flash and it doesn't appear on iPhone, right? So an example is by replacing something that is in Flash with something that's non-Flash, you're making something visible, and you're meeting a very basic need there. Another basic need with the web is navigation. I think after seeing content, whether it's text or image, the other basic essential of the web is being able to move from one page to another, or from one site to another. So again, I would say this ability to navigate and navigate easily is one of the more essential needs for the web and the mobile web. After that, let's just work up quickly through the hierarchy. I would say that after you can see content, you should have it more readable. You should have it more engaging so that people either read through the entirety of the content, which might mean more editing, or that you might paginate or lay something out differently. Especially with smartphones, I think we realize that the more we can reduce pinching and zooming so that and even tapping or other interactions and just using device width and sending content that is scaled to mobile better is another way we can enhance the experience. It happens to fit pretty well in the love and belonging category or the social category that the two elements I have here are responding, which would be using forms on the web, and sharing, which is making sure that your mobile site is integrated with mobile social components. So again, these are important, but I would only go at these, you know, work toward these after I've done these other preceding higher priorities. Finally, there's a lot of talk about performance, and one of the main areas you can do performance is with images, by serving smaller images that are lighter weight, use less bandwidth to mobile devices. So that might be a later optimization. And finally, if you want to really go fancy with mobilization, you might want to start implementing HTML5, which you can use transitions that go from screen to screen, have more of a native app-like experience. You can add local storage, you could do WebSockets, or you could even do offline stuff with HTML5. So those are some examples of how you might want to prioritize your mobile development. And really, though, this is more than just meeting human needs. This is kind of allowing you to start managing your mobile process as a product management process. And so this is really a strategy for mobile product management and not just meeting, you know, needs at the in the right priority level for people. Now, just because I went through that one hierarchy of working through priorities, it doesn't mean that that's the only way of looking at it. There could be other ways. Another way of doing it is by doing it by platform. For most people, with your mobile site traffic, you're still probably getting most traffic through iPhones and Android phones. So there again, you'd want to prioritize that as meeting the most needs the most urgently and hit those the fastest. But after that, you might want to optimize for BlackBerry and do BlackBerry testing. You might want to do Symbian. You might want to do Opera. So again, you can prioritize things, whether it's features, whether it's behaviors, whether it's meeting operating systems or browser types, and you can actually kind of do those things simultaneously if you need to as well. So that's really the premise of the book, the premise of what I think is important about product management. And the way I structured the book then is to teach you how to think about these things separately. Not so much that you can always implement them separately and in a detached way, but if you start reading about them separately and implementing maybe a few of them at a time, it really eases the pain of kind of getting into something that might be very new to you. So, for example, I start writing about just what user experience is and how it's different in mobile. Then I move on to layout and how you have to change from a fixed-width site to something that is more responsive for the mobile web. Then I talk about navigation, images, text, and so on. So, again, I'm using this same prioritization, even within the content of the book, to kind of teach you the most basic things first so that you can then kind of master the fundamentals and then progressively enhance your site over time, if you don't want to do it all at once. The last two topics that I address are really kind of development alternatives. The first several chapters there, I don't know how many there are depicted, but the first several are all about responsive design. And then I talk about jQuery mobile as another way of dealing with mobile design. And then finally, I talk about PHP and using device detection. So I try to be pretty comprehensive about not just talking about how to prioritize features for mobile and how to think about your site as a mobile product that you can progressively enhance, but I try to give you a few development options there as well. So in addition to my book, I'm trying to do more writing about this idea of product management. I'm trying to expand on this idea to help people harness the power of the web in the sense that it can continually be progressively enhanced, and that you can continue to drive your product experience, your web experience, higher and higher, especially as changes happen all around us. So if you're interested in reading that idea as it gets developed over time, on my website, you can go to christopherleon.com and read more about mobile product management. If you're looking for resources that are beyond my book, there's a number of other excellent mobile books out there, but one of the best resources happens to be right online, curated by a guy named Brad Frost, who is a mobile developer in Brooklyn, and his website is called mobilewebbestpractices.com. And he has everything from articles to books to videos to slideshows from other mobile presentations. And he's been working pretty hard on this for a few months, and I really highly recommend it, especially when you're trying to get into really technical things like exploring different ways to mobile optimize images, for example. That's something that I only cover relatively lightly in my book. If you want to dive deeper into that, you'll probably find resources there on his site. And other than that, I just encourage you to follow me on Twitter. I'm kleon on Twitter. You can email me with questions at chris.leon@gmail.com. And finally, to get a preview of the book before even buying it, you can go to mobilizingwebsites.net. I feature three main case studies in the book where I give you all the code and walk you through it in kind of a workshop fashion in the book. You can see the actual results of those case studies on this site at mobilizingwebsites.net and see how both the desktop and mobile versions look differently. So with that, thanks a lot for coming, and I think I've saved a little bit of time for questions if anybody has some. Any questions about mobile design, especially if you're starting out and especially if you're working with existing sites? Yeah, there's a question way in the back. One of the common mistakes, I would say, and maybe it's a little ironic that I say this because I emphasize as one example that you might start with iPhone and Android, and that is primarily the perspective that I write my book from. But when people start that way, which is a way that I would encourage you to start, you can't stop there. Okay, there's a big difference between starting mobile optimization for iPhone and Android just because you predominantly see iPhones around you, and then after that you probably predominantly see Android devices. That does give you some strong evidence that that's a safe way to start, that that's a way to hit most people with a good mobile experience. But I think the mistake people make then is that they just think, well, I've tested on an iPhone, I've tested on one Android device, things look good, so I must be done. That's the mistake. The mistake is that you just stop. You need to continue testing, especially in the case of Android, because Android, as we know, is fragmented. Things can behave differently on different devices, different versions of Android. And not to mention that things aren't going to stand still for us, right? We have to keep moving ahead. So I think the biggest risk is kind of just using that WebKit mentality and thinking, well, I've developed for the WebKit browsers and operating systems, so I'm good. It's a good start, but it's not the finish line. The question, in case everyone didn't hear, is to kind of compare and contrast when you use responsive design versus when you use kind of an alternate mobile presentation with something like jQuery Mobile. Kind of the short, easy answer is it depends, which I'm sure you kind of knew about that anyway. But basically, I would say I would try to prioritize responsive as being the better way to deal with something if you can. And I know that that's kind of a broad answer, but basically I would try to exhaust the responsive option first before moving into something that isn't responsive. Now, the reasons that I say that are because if you're trying to maintain something over time and manage it in a nimble way, it's a lot easier to manage one set of content and kind of one service rather than trying to sync them, which would be a little trickier, I think, even if it's managed by a content management system or something. So, again, my basic strategy would be is see whether responsive works for you first, because that's going to be the easier way. It's also probably going to be the more universal way that supports more devices. The other downside of jQuery Mobile that kind of dovetails with that is that I do trust jQuery Mobile's testing. And they do grade, their support A, B, and C mobile browsers and things. But you kind of rely on that kind of framework a little bit more than you should sometimes. There's just a little more risk there. So you maybe only want to do that if that's the only way forward. Okay. The question is how to deal with the long tail of devices that you likely don't own. That's a good question because I don't know. I myself don't test the tail very thoroughly. One of the new tools that just came out, though, I think is called Adobe Shadow. Does that sound familiar to people? The only question that I would have is that I don't know if that is a... I believe that tool is set up to be augmented to the point that it will be testing a number of other platforms and kind of solve that problem in a big way for people. Unfortunately, I don't think that product was launched to emulate more than iPhone and Android and get into some of these less prevalent mobile platforms, at least in the U.S. So there probably are other emulators that you can install individually, but I think you've actually identified one of the challenges in trying to deal with that is if you're not testing on device, you have to use emulators. In the end, you always should try to test on device at some point whenever you can, just because that is more thorough. So are we done with questions? Okay. I will say that I'm going to be out signing books and answering questions just across the way in the bookstore area, so I'm kind of lucky that if you have other questions and if you have time to hang out for a few minutes, just look for me out there. Even if you're not getting a book signed, I'm still happy to answer a question. So thanks so much for coming. It's been fun.
Thank you to Chris. Please do check out his book at the Barnes & Noble bookstore.